דוגמה, נגיד את הזיין על הדבר. אמר רוב, וחייב הנה יש לו סומי בפוריה, עד אלו יודע, בין אור הומון לברוך מודכה. So Rashi says, the sume is the hishtaka b'yayin, get drunk, to drink. Ad lo yodam and or homo le moruch monecha. Then the word relates, Rabba or Abzeira of Dusudas Purambah de'anori. Rabba and Abzeira, they were colleagues, and they made a Sudas Purim together. It was a Sudas Purim that was not going to be forgotten. Suda's Purim that was not going to be forgotten. If so, the Rashi is Nishtaku, became an embryator. Kom Rabba Shachtel Rabzeir. And he shechted Rabzeir. There's no shayla if it means the Mocher tomorrow, boy Rachel, he asked Rachmanis on, this is Palestine, but Achset. And he brought him back to life. So there's a shayla, this is whether it means chias ameisim, or does it mean that he seriously injured him, achi, and that he healed him? Some question of what the Gemara means.
The other thing with
Talia. What?
The other thing with Talia means.
I think the Masha. Achrayim. Doesn't mean he actually killed him. Nor does it say that he intended to kill him. Right, come round the shachter of Zayr. Who knows? Maybe he was. I took the knife to cut the challah and put him. And he swung a little bit wide because he was, you know, a little unbalanced. It doesn't say how it came. It doesn't say that he had the murderous intent. You know, he took a knife and started chasing him around. You know, and he became possessed. But it doesn't say. So that was one year to this Purim, a memorable Purim, to say the least. The Shana, the next year came again. So, you know, I guess Robin decided to have him last year. Amalei, so he extended the invitation to him there again. Nasi Mav and never to the Sperm Mav, you know, let's get back together and make to the Sperm again. Amalei, so Rav Zera told him, Lei b'chol shaitu shaita mitzrachis. One's not zeicha to nisim upon the men. You know, they don't always come. So, therefore, he turned the invitation down. That's the Gemara. That is the Gemara. Rambam records this halacha. Ketzad chayva sudazu. Villages and cities celebrate on the 14th. Yom Tesel and Mekrochim for the walled cities. Liyoson Yom Simcha Mishta to be days of Simcha Mishta and partying. Umashloach Monos Lireyim to friends. Umatonos Leviyim. Umutu Basias Malacha. One is a lot of work. Rafa Pikein and Roy Lasses from Malacha. Really inappropriate. So to the extent that one doesn't have to work, one should not work. Omru Chachamim, Kolosim Loch B'Yom Purim, and the Roya Simon Brocha Loda means in that work, he's not necessarily going to see Brocha Loda. Okay, this we don't need to. The villages were allowed to read on the Monday or Thursday before Purim. The simcha has to be on Yidalit itself.
What
was that? So it ought to be based in the Rambam that the Tezvav people this year should be giving on Yidalit. It would be
together with Megillah.
Yeah, that's what it ought to be. I don't know what they're in Hogan and Yerushalayim about.
My Tanakh is happening on Friday.
Yeah.
So there's Purim on Sunday.
Right.
And, yeah. There's Tanakh Sholom on Sunday, too, right?
So Shalom Malas on Sunday, and Shabbos they also have a Suda.
Yeah.
And you feel an Eastern on Shabbos.
Yes, and not on Sunday.
So you don't remember when Megillah was
Friday. Megillah is Friday.
Okay. Yes. Keitzad Chovat Sudas. What is the manner of obligation of this Suda, Rav Moshe? Yochol Bosor. He should have meat, be sakin Suda Noch, be asher tinta yodom, and he should make as lavish a meal as he can afford. He should drink wine until he falls asleep. Mach with him chaber, or zesholeach with zesedos, or zesholeach with zesedos, at the time of Mishloach Monos Mishloreyo. It can be yoytzi that way. Now it's interesting that the Rambam puts three halachas together. He puts the din of Suda, and together with Suda, he puts the din of Chayavinish with Suma the Puriyo, and he also puts the din of Mishloach Monos in this very same halacha. The next one, Chayav L'Chalak L'Aniyim L'Yom Purim. But he puts that as a Chaylek, both of these halachas together with Sudas Purim. The Mashmos in the Rambam is that the din of Chayav Inish, the Sumi, the Puriyah, Pashkas in the Rambam is as a Chaylek of the Sudas Purim. Shoyt Yayin, at Yishtak, the Rambam talks about this. This is Ketan. And the Rambam, it seems, the Chayav Inish of Suda Raporia is a Chaylik of Sudas Purim. In other words, just as we have, and each of the Chagim is a halach of, besides Kiddush, there's been a Koveya Sudas Olayayim, and a person should drink somewhat of it. They have to taste and drink, and you should drink together with the meal itself. So Purim is also a din to drink together with the meal itself. So Purim has a different limit than the rest of the year. The Rambam seems to take the Gemara quite literally, actually, Yishtakir V'yirnam B'Shikrusa, that he falls asleep, he drinks. So it's interesting that we find the Balamor quotes the Rif Talmud, Rabbi Ephraim. And Rabbi Ephraim says that this din of Chayav Inish to Sumi Yipur is not Allah for the Maisa. And halacha l'maisa. Why is it not halacha l'maisa? Because it was superseded by the latter story of Rabba and Ramzeira. That Rabba and Ramzeira did it. And we see that this was not exactly something that worked out too well. So, Aleila, it must be that Chayav Inish to Suma and Puriya is not to be taken so literally. Meaning in the sense of Chazal, I should say literally, but rather that Chazal retracted. They did not remain with this particular machshavah because they saw how out of hand it could get. And that's the meaning of this story in the Gemara, that the Gemara told us the mice of Chayav Inish, Yosuma Gipuria, and then it related the mice of Rabban of Zerah, was exactly to teach us that they rescinded, they changed their mind. That's what the Rabbi Elul Friday said. The Pri Chodosh takes him to test. And he says he does not believe that that's Pshat of the Gemara. It cannot be Pshat of the Gemara. Why does he feel that it can't be Pshat of the Gemara? Because he says, if Chachmei Ashas rescinded their initial approach and we're no longer supposed to do Chayav Inashlut Sumer before you, then why was Rav Zeir afraid to come back next year to Rav? If this put an end to this practice, that they saw that even with a person as great as Rav, it can get out of hand. So they put an end to it, so then Rav Zeir should have been very clear, not frightened to show up next month. Why was he frightened? The loss of the Ren of Raya. Kosar or Rav Ren of Raya. Who uvdu the Kom Rav Shachna of Zeru, the Shona Omele Ton Avet, Itchel a member of the Rav, or Rav, with a Tilkos of Havasa. The Lav Shaper Domi the Levin Hoch. It's not a good idea to do it. So, this latter story reflects upon the fact that it shouldn't be done. The Shaila is, or the Pri Chodesh says, that if they rescinded it, why was he afraid to come? And he says, the Ikal HaLocha is not like the Ramin Ophraim. The Chazal did not rescind this thing. However, he says, HaLocha L'maisa, one should follow the Ramin Ophraim. Even though I don't think that's the primary pshat in the Gemara, because he wrote 2.5 centuries ago, he didn't feel that the people were on the Madrigas and the Mekayim didn't properly. Because even though I think that the Ikal HaLocha is not like a Ramin Ophraim, but HaLocha L'maisa, we should adopt the Shita of the Ramin Ophraim. I wanted to defend the Ramin Ophraim. And explain the Gemara in light of, even in light of the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Question is, what was the diuk of the Rabbeinu Ephraim? The diuk was not that Rabbi changed his mind. Rabbi apparently didn't change his mind. And that's why Rabbi Zeira didn't want to show up there. Because Rabbi, even after what happened the year before, he was intending to do it again. And that's why Rabbi Zeira told him, listen, thanks and no thanks. I'm staying home. But the Shaila is something else. The Shaila is, what was the purpose of Ravina and of Ashi writing the story in Shas? What are they writing in Shas for? Every bar das understands that if you undertake to drink heavily, that you better take precautions. I don't have to write a Gemara to tell you don't drive the car when you're drunk. You know, obviously, you have to take care to watch, to not to cause damage, not to hurt people, not to hurt yourself. What was the purpose of telling me the story? That things could get out of hand, every bar das on this. I don't need Chazal to tell me a story to tell me that. So why did the Gemara relate the story? Good Rabbi didn't change his mind, but why did Ravina of Ashi see fit to put the story in the shop? So what he was saying is that they reflected their disapproval of the story. And the attitude expressed by Rav Zeira, that Lav b'chol shaitu shaitu mitzrachei speech nisa, we can't always be sent b'chal anes, and bad things could happen from this, that's the attitude that Chachmei Ashas intended to convey. That's why they put the story in. So Rav Meir may have remained with his particular view of Chayav Inashlut Sumer for you. Interesting. He even has Rabba as the one that, not Rabba, but rather Rabba as the one that initially authored the statement of Chayav Inashlut Sumer for you. He lived by his own edict. But Chachmei Ashas did not see eye to eye with him. And that's the Rabbeinu Ephraim's deal. That otherwise, why did Gemara put it in? I say, I don't see a hechruch from the Gemara against the Rabbeinu Ephraim. You know, it's rather interesting that the Prima Godim, La Halacha, quotes the Pri Chodesh. That that's what's appropriate. And the Chofetz Chaim, the Chassadim, the Baruch Hu, quotes the Prima Godim. The Chofetz Chaim is machriya, really, La Halacha, that Chayim, Yinush, and Simba, the Puri, should not be taken in its most literal sense. There are many reasons for it. First of all, we have to know that we find in the halacha that the atonement of this mitzvah that one should be careful. The Chayyadim says, "V'omnam ayadeh ba'atzma." The Chayyadim writes, "She yizalzel oz b'mitzvah v'ramitzvus." That he won't be particular about a mitzvah, b'netilas yadayim, b'broch, or b'rechus almozim. Oh, shalom yispala mincha o'mayra, he won't dab mincha marav properly.
That's bound to happen.
Oh, shal yinoi, kalas roish, he'll act in an unseemly fashion. Mutu shalom yishtata, cholmasam yu Hashem shamayim b'chayel b'mayis. So here we write,
Chod Chaim Kut v'chayel?
Yeah, the Be'al Allah. That one has to be careful to make sure that one does not violate any mitzvah. Now, if that's the case, so that's a pretty good. Now, let me ask the following question. Shikrus in the halacha is described in two different ways. There are two different modalities of shikrus. In Hilchos Tefillah we have shikros of any yochel adabra lefnei melech. A person that drank, he had a few too many. I mean, he's not stoned, but nor is he clear-headed. And if he had something delicate to speak about with someone, he wouldn't undertake it. Would he go to have a meeting with President Bush in the Oval Office in this state? He decides this is the wrong day for it. I'll come tomorrow. So if one would not conduct a meeting, a significant meeting, in such a state, it's in a yochel adabra lifnei hamelech, then he's not allowed to daven. But we're talking to the Rabbeinu Shalom. I wouldn't talk to a melech boss of a dom in this state. So what type of chutzpah do I have to speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom? Well, that's one type of shikrus. There's a second shikrus that we find. And that we find in the halacha called shikrus of shalit. Light didn't have a few too many. He had a few bottles too many, not a few drinks too many. I mean, he was loyada b'shichva b'kuma. He basically had no idea what was going on with himself. He was really, really tanked. Now, Chazal say the differences between the two. A person that's in a yochel adabra lifnei hamelech, and he does a mitzvah, let's say he's b'chus hamozen, or whatever, mitzvah makes a brochel, so he fulfilled the mitzvah. He's not in the best state, but he fulfilled the mitzvah. Let's say a person had to bench. And he got that slush that is kishikrus or shaloi, that he benched. And then he woke up afterwards, the alcohol started to wear off, and his head cleared, and he's no longer shikr like lut. And he realized, but he could still bench. So the halach is he has to bench again. He wasn't yait the first time. Why? Because he had a din kishait the first time. And a shaitas can't be yotzei mitzvahs. On the other hand, it doesn't mean he's exempt from the lois aseis. Why? Because he put himself in that mokum einus. So he can't put himself in that mokum einus and then say, well, you know, I'm incapable and really I'm not responsible. Well, you're responsible not to put yourself in that state. Yeah. I humbly submit, I do not believe that it was the intention of Chazal that a person should reach the state of kishikrus or shalit. It makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, a person, especially according to the Rambam, this is in the midst of the Suda's Purim, this is supposed to take place. I mean, if a person reads such a state, how would he make Birchas HaMozen? How would he daven Marav? How can he be sure that he do any mitzvah? Because nobody's doing it himself altogether. The very notion of humanity, according to Chazal, is Ruach Mamalava, the ability to speak. Speaking represents man's power of reasoning, the ability to use his mind to discern. As we saw earlier, Ein Das Havdol Minayim. If a person has no seichel, then he can't be discerning. So So the very essence of Yadlus is built on man's ability to use his mind. So to argue that Chazal intended that a person should put himself on spending the ability to use his mind makes no sense at all, right? We must assume perforce that the level of shikrus is not shikrus or shalit. It's shy of that.
And a person, Cohen can't do the avodas, he has had beliefs, you know, for any analysis of the morning.
Okay, that's okay.
Makes him hardly
okay, so, you know, he's not in the most perfect state to do the avodah before the Rebbeinu Shalom. He has to be in the most perfect state to do it. So, it's hard to imagine that Chazal so intended that a person should do such a thing. I don't believe it. The further question is, it depends on what point in life it takes place. You know, the younger a person is, the more suspect his motivation is, that he does not attend the Lashem Shemayim. I asked one of my rebbeim once, many, many years ago, when I was so. Years are flying by, it's about 35 years back. So I asked him, what's the inyan of the chalal of Chayim Yiddish, whatever it means, at whatever level, what's Chayim Yiddish the Suga Puri, for what purpose, what's the tachlis? So he stated, he said that he's seen in Svar, that the point is that people are sometimes mired in pettiness. And they need to let the hair down a little bit and just to overcome their inhibitions in a mild sense. The inhibitions that keep them from doing what's right sometimes. So you have to loosen up a little bit. It was interesting, a few years went by and I was in attendance at a Sudas Plum and I saw something remarkable. There were two people at the Suda that I and had a strained relationship for a number of years before. And there were people, a number of people at the Suda that knew this. In the middle of the Suda's Purim, they got up and they started to dance with each other. And after that, the relationship went back to a relationship, a normal relationship between two people. The resentments of the past were buried. So I actually did see it take place. What?
No.
I guess probably, listen, they weren't drunk, but they probably each had a little something, you know, something of significance to drink. So, this is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, but it has to be in the right proportions. Interesting that the Chofetz Chaim even raises the question, he cites the Eliyahu Rabbah, that how could Chazal, whatever level of shikrus it is, but how could Chazal demand it by Shemitzik, the Torah, and the Vim, and the Kavah, and the Kavah, and the Shikrus, and the Mechshundodl. Like we say, Kol Arayah Sukkos, Soitim, and Kukulas, Yazarat, from an Ayayin. A person's moral judgment is impaired when he drinks. So how do we encourage him in this way? So he says, because the Nisim took place in this way, so therefore Chazal wanted us to remember his Nisgan Esagodl, which came about through this. But he ends off with Komokum Kolz of the mitzvah below the Akif. The mitzvah, it's preferable. It's not Le'ikuva. I mean, there are a lot of mitzvahs Hayom which are Le'ikuva. I mean, and I've seen now, it's clear the Rambam associated it with the Sudas Torah. It's quite clear in the Halacha that the din of Chayim Yiddish Nesuma Vepuri does not apply in the night of Purim. It only applies in the daytime of Purim. I mean, I've seen people that when Mekayim Chayim Yiddish Nesuma Vepuri in the night of Purim, and that's the last they know of Purim. They didn't know about Shachas, they didn't know about Kriyas HaMegillah, they didn't know about Mincha, Sudas Purim, Shleach Monas. You know, they went straight through till Motzei Purim. Eighth place, just about. And I've seen it. So, it's a cautionary tale. You know, everything in the world has its time and place. And it's different for different people. But to the largest extent, I'm a very big misnaggit to overdoing it with Chayim Yiddish Nesuma Vepuri. I don't think it's a wise course of action. I don't think that it enhances one's away with Hashem.
What about Pesach? Maybe those four courses can knock some people out also.
Four courses is not Chayavish Kusuma. But I will tell you that this year, you know, one doesn't have to have the largest places in the world this year. One only has to drink Big Din Rove Revius, one does not have to drink Rove Kosis. There's one sheet that it holds Rove Kosis, but the Eker sheet of the Shofan Aruch is Rove Revius. It's enough.
You know what great you said you have to.
So if you have to, but if a person doesn't overdo it, and if you don't take a wine that's, you know, 20% alcohol, so, you know, if you take something, you know, 8%, so good. So if you have 8%, and you drink all together 10 ounces, 8 ounces, so how much did you have of alcohol? Right? 8% of 8 ounces. You didn't even get the equivalent of a shot glass. You got about the equivalent of one shot glass, spaced over the whole night. Not likely to do too much harm to too many people. So everything has to be done. You know, a person has to know his own cases. So, it's a cautionary tale. On my part about Chayav Yiddish and the Suhair Kohen. What I find very fascinating in the attempt sometimes to simplify halachas. We create halachas that don't exist. So let me read to you from the Rambam. And then from the Shulchan Aruch, we'll quote the Lashon HaRambam. And we'll discover that there's one halacha that we were all taught, and that everybody knows. But it's not true.
Too different.
The halacha writes, V'chein chayev odom l'shloyach shtei monos bosan, two portions of food, or shrei minei tavshim, are two types of cooked food, or shrei minei oichlim, are two types of food, the chavero, shenamur mishloach monos ish l'rayev, shtei monos ish echa. The Rambam lists three different possibilities of what, how could one could be yoy to the mitzvah. The Rambam says shtei monos bosa, two portions of meat, shnei minei tavshim, two types of cooked items, or shnei minei oichlam, or two types of foods. Now, in the Shulchan Aruch also, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Chayev l'shloyach l'chaver shtei monos bosa, also minei oichlam. The Shulchan Aruch spells out the fact, doesn't say shnei minei oichlam, also minei oichlam, which would seem to suggest that two portions also minei oichlam, meaning shnei monos of minei oichlam, shnei monos mishloach monos ishter reyayim. The Rambam is mafurish, and the Shulchan Aruch, that one could be yaitzei the mitzvah with shnei monos bosa, two portions of meat.
Doesn't have to be two different brachos.
No. This idea with the two different brachos says, I don't know where it was invented from. It's clearly not in the Shulchan Aruch, and I doubt when the Rambam wrote Shli Minei Oichla means you can be Yaitse, but Shli Minei Oichla. The Rambam's giving some examples. The Rambam wrote the first example where Shtei Monos Bosa, two portions of meat.
Would be a bigger mitzvah to provide somebody with his meal rather than to give him a basket of goodies?
I don't really love the doctor.
You know,
isn't that what it's meant? It's meant for the meal.
It's not, in the Rambam it's a little bit b'mashma, it was intended for the meal, but for what part of the meal is not so much. That's actually the Rambam, as I pointed out, includes it in the halacha of Suda's Purim. But well, which part of the Suda's Purim it's going to be for, the Rambam didn't write. Now, Shteimon's Bosa would obviously be intended, you know, for the main dish. But it could be for other parts of the Suda too. Oh, that's something else. You just, now, you want to know about Hashivas? So the Chayadim quotes a Rishonim. Rishalmi, on the basis of this, Rishalmi writes the following, that if one sends something which is beneath the station of life of the person that is sending it to, the one's not yaitzeh. And there was a ritva that seems to have such a text, and Mashal ritva that he gives to Achashom the Yimar. The ritva has such a mashmos as well. The Chavetz Chaim writes, Achen Shor Poiskim of his Kiru Dovazel, we don't find it. But nevertheless, the Nochon Rizor Bezel Achatchim. To send something that's in accordance with the station and life of the person you're sending it to.
We talk on my sister, if you send to the, you send to your neighbor, your friend.
Well, listen, everything has to be, you know, listen, you know, if you want to, you know, send, there are guys that, you know, they want to be cheap, so, you know, or they want to be good-hearted, not necessarily cheap, or a combination of both. So they want to, they'll give you, what happens if I give you one raisin and one peanut?
It's not, so look at the you're not yours.
Yes, that's what we're saying. That's even for you, the guy sitting next to you. Doesn't have chashivus.
So ham and tash and an orange?
Whatever. So, you know, whatever. Everybody has some chashivus. Now, let's say, yes, some. Let's say you're sending to a very rich man. That's what he's writing. You're right, sent to an usher. There has to be something. Have a good bottle of wine, something. You want to be, that's the way you want to be, you say.
So you only need one to be yotze, one person.
But if you want to do this, you know, the marburator, you don't want to send it over, you send it to the other person. The one is to be yotze, at least at the minimum. You do more than that, but if you want to do it, you want to be yotze to the mitzvah. So it ought to have some measure of chashivas to it, depending on who you're sending it to.
Because otherwise it's an insult?
It's not marbareya. Marbareya is the fact that I gave you something of significance. That's the friendship. I give you something that's beneath you. So, junk, what you give me, it's nothing, it doesn't do it.
If I have a friend that likes a certain type of chocolate, like send him, I buy him a type of chocolate that he likes and an orange. But I don't know if that's chashiv.
For him, it's chashiv. That's exactly the point.
For him, it's chashiv.
Yeah,
if he likes
is,
that,
yeah,
if that person likes that,
yeah,
even though it's not steak and does not cost
whatever,
that much money.
Whatever, for him, it's chashiv. But, you know, if you're dealing with a guy that's worth $100 million and you want to send him shalach hamonos, you're not, you know, you have to send him something
one
else.
One of those packages for $100.
You know, it's different. What you have to send such a person is different than what you send, you know, someone else. So this, now Matonos Lev Yoinim, Pashtus, what's the Indian of Matonos Lev Yoinim? Pashtus Mechor, the Indian of Mechum, of Matonos Lev Yoinim. Rambam writes, "Chayim lechalek laniyim biyom atzmorot. In koichsim b'shnei aniyim, must be at least two aniyim. Noisim lecholechad matona achas. You have to give him a gift. Omoi, give him money. Omeni tavshel of food. Omeni oichlen, cooked food, other food. Shneimor matonos leviyim. Shtei matonos l'shnei aniyim.
If you invite him to your suda, that would also count.
Chayim, that would also be matonos leviyim." Pashtus, there is a svara to say that the Indian, what's the Indian of Matanos Lev Yoinim? There's a svara to say that the Indian of Matanos Lev Yoinim is also tied up to the svara. So that every Oni Ve'evyin should also have the ability to be Mekayim Suvas Po. That's one posture to take on the Indian of Matanos Lev Yoinim. If that's the case, then that would lead us that one should give enough that a person should be able to be yaitse at least some level of esuda, some. Consequently, the question arises: is what? How would we count it?
Count what?
In other words, how would we determine how much a person should give. We don't, you know, this whole thing is overdone in today's world. A person that struggles to have what he needs is poor. Chazal, you know, we used to joke about it. He's not a joker already, he's part of the propaganda. When I was in yeshiva, we used to joke about it. Look, you know, you don't want to be Mekai Mitzvah Lemahadrin. So, because we need an Oni who's, you know, Lemahadrin, and Mahadrin, and Oni. You know? Chazal didn't write that. Chazal wrote, Matamas Lavyayna, Shulchan Aruch, we don't try to Dachoyna made any big tumult about it. A person that doesn't have, struggles to have what he needs, he's an Oni. There's no question. You can and should give Maitre money to such a person to help him out. And certainly one can give him Matamas Lavyayna. You know, Baruch Hashem, we don't live in a society where there are too many people that are rolling around in the streets, you know, without anything to eat and a roof over their head. Baruch Hashem, that's not the normal problem. But that does not mean that there are not poor people. There's a rabbi that I knew in Johannesburg. So he said once that, you know, Johannesburg at that time, 30 years back, was considered the wealthiest Jewish community in the world. So he said, I once shocked my balabatim. He was at a synagogue, the Oxford Synagogue in Johannesburg. You know, something like the equivalent of the Fifth Avenue Synagogue in New York. Well-heeled, you know, wealthy. He went up to the Bima in the Eastern Time. And there the Chevra Kadisha, the prophets of the Chevra Kadisha, are put into tzedakah. That's what they use the prophets of the Chevra Kadisha for. He said, Rabbi Yisai, there are 500 families in Johannesburg that have accepted assistance from the Chevra Kadisha from Moshe Chita. He said, they must fell off the chair. And in Johannesburg, 500 of me, of Lodoy. You know, poverty exists. Yeah, it doesn't mean that, you know, the guy is posh, doesn't have the like the homeless guy around the city that's asking for quarters. For all Hashem, in our community, it's not the way, the faith that it has to the laws and system. But it was also an Indian. And that's also an Indian of Matanos Levyayna,
Yaron.
Could
I ask a few questions back on Shlomo?
Yeah, sure.
Firstly, can your child be a Shliach for you? I guess you have to give it to a Shliach.
So let's go back. Yeah. Do you have to give it to a Do you have to give it to a shliach? Now, it happens to be that such a statement is not found in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, let's be a little bit more specific. Because first of all, note it's not found in the Shulchan Aruch. That's number one. Number two, the Binyan Tzion, the Aruch Lader, his Tshuvas, explores it. Do you actually need a shliach? I mean, it is mentioned. Some Sefer mentions it someplace in the Tshuvas. Because they have a whole Torah that he wants to address, and he has some chiddush which I never fully understood. But some sort of the question is typically, who is the shliach for the shalach monos?
Child.
I ain't shlichus l'kotzim, so he can't be a shliach. But some sefer, in one place, writes that some other type of shlichus, and there's no shlichus for this. But I did not, on the time that I saw the some sefer, I did not comprehend it. So we didn't mention such a practice for some sefer, but the Binyan Tzion says, be'etzem, we don't really find any mocker for it. Elamai, maybe because it says it was shloach monos, yishlo v'yeyu, should that imply that you have to do it ayadei shliach? Well, it also says by a get, yishlocho mibesa, right? And you can give a get yourself, you don't have to send it through a shliach to tell it to get lost. So, can you see that by a get, I don't remember his riot, but that's always been a riot to me, that even if it says a lashon of a shilach, it may mean you can do it through a shliach, but it doesn't mean you have to do it on a shliach. And that's basically his conclusion, that you really don't have to. And he ends off something, his punchline, something is to the effect that ulai, perhaps it's yoyser noch on the chachila, somewhat more correct, perhaps, to send it on a shliach than not. That's about as much as he argues in favor of this particular practice.
actually counterintuitive, because if you want to show reyes, you want to do it yourself, not send it to you. The personal touch means more, and maybe back then it was a sign of distinguishment and honor to the person you're giving it to.
Well, it depends then, but if that was what it was intended, then you should need a different type of shliach.
Yeah, not a kid.
Yeah.
So then my other question has to do with your children. If they want to be okay, do you have to give it to them as a matana formally for them to give it to someone
else? It's best to give it to them. If they're going to be okay,
you
give it to them.
Do you have to do that formally stated?
Yeah. I would think it's best to do it. Therefore. Probably self-understood anyhow, but it's probably best to do it.
Oh, Rob, if you buy something, the davka for your child to use for shalach monos, and you give it to him, isn't that the
kid? That's it. So that's certainly a kid. That's certainly a kid. Some write the chinush of it because of the chinush they prut is the shalach prut of hashuva matana avolah v'pochus. But not everyone agrees with that. Others say that
simple meal.
It means a simple meal. Well, I tell people nowadays, you know, the there's inflation nowadays. So I used to think about $3 is enough. I'm thinking about, you know, today about giving about $5.
Each or together?
What?
For each one? For each one?
For each matana. Yeah, what? You can buy a couple of slices of pizza, you can buy a hamburger and some fries and a soda, you know. A portion of meal. I didn't say I'm wearing a villain, you know, in a fancy restaurant in Manhattan. A portion of meal.
You buy a pizza after lunch on.
Yeah, you get a couple of slices of pizza, a soda, maybe, you know. For $5.
Yeah.
I would think lechatchila that's the best, yeah. Now the halacha is the etzah matanos levyanim, you're not supposed to use maisa money for because it's a fee. But after the first two aniyim, the tosefos is not a fee. So that's certainly going to take from maisa money. Sometimes Purim is not such a bad idea to be maisa. Not only for the union of stock, there's another union. The Prophet Tzadikim writes in that, oh, let me put, I'll put the shayla, I'll tell you the shayla first, and then I'll tell you how I'm machriya the shayla. There was a group of women who were organized, and their tachmas was, their purpose was to do chesed, that when a woman had a baby, they would send food to help her out. So, it went on. Then there were some women that said they don't need whatever, they have money, their money, whatever it is, they don't want to accept. So I was asked about it. So I said, no, they should also accept. They shouldn't be small. The Aruch HaTzadikim writes that when a person is involved in doing chesed for others, he must be willing to accept chesed from those people. Why? Because he makes them more comfortable in accepting the chesed from him. It's just a one-way street, so a person feels very uncomfortable. But well, I don't need it. Listen, I'm a rich man. I don't need it. But he wants to do me a favor. Is it a chesed? If I accept it, when I want to help him out, he won't feel uncomfortable. He won't feel put in. And Purim is a very good opportunity. A lot of times, the parameters lend themselves more to doing certain things that you have a harder time doing the rest of the year. You know, give a gift, fancy gift to someone, a nice gift, but to help someone out in a way which sometimes would not so, you know, offend them as it might in a different situation and things throughout the year. So in life one has to look for opportunities. It's not always so easy, you know, to do chesed. I had a friend, I knew he was always lived at the edge. No, you wouldn't have known it. He was always very well dressed. That was like the most important thing to him in his life, was to be well dressed, clothes, immaculately pressed. But a lot of most of his life, a big chelik of his life, he lived on the edge. So what did I do? I wanted to help him out. I also knew that he was not very on top of what was in his bank account. No idea. He wouldn't know if he had $100 in his bank account or $1,500 in his bank account. He wouldn't know the difference. So I found out his account number, and I sent someone to put money into his account. If I went to him and offered the money, he would have been embarrassed. And he probably would have turned me down. But this way, he had no idea he was getting it, never realized. You have to look, you know, for the opportunities. How do we keep the session in the most painless way possible? Purim presents a lot of time for such types of opportunities. Now, there are always two mitzvahs of Purim that are forgotten. One, to share about Talmud Torah and Purim. Purim is a Talmud Kabbalah Satorah. As I'll say, that Hodr Kibluah, or the ultimate Kabbalah Satorah, was at Purim, where it was totally merotzeh. It's a whole sugi in its own right, but it was the first Kabbalah Satorah. The second, but as I'll say, that the second Kabbalah Satorah was totally merotzeh. There's an Indian which is associated with Purim, which really also pushes us in the direction of Kabbalah Satorah. It's a very strange medrash. The Medrash, I believe, is in the, I believe, in Bereishis Rabba, in Parshas Toldos. There it says about Esav, Vayitak Tzok Gedoy Lomar. And we find by the Megillah, Vayizag Rabba Yosel, Vayizak Tzok Gedoy Lomar, by Monacha. So the Chazal said those two things are related to each other. That's why the Loshen is very parallel. That Esav cried when he lost the brachos. Cried out, Vayitzak, Tzok Gedoy Lomar. So because of that, we had difficulties with Haman in Shushan Aviyah. That's the Medrash. The Medrash is a very difficult Medrash. The fact that Yaakov took the brachas from Esau, Rivka was machriya lahalacha based on a nevuah that he's supposed to do. So, and if you go to war and you shoot someone, he's also, listen, the mother or sister was not pleased when sister didn't come back from the battle. But that's not something we cry about, you know. There are a lot of tyrants, and Halavai to meet that fate sooner rather than later. And when they do, Bavai Rishon Rina. So, what's the, they'll be concerned for? Aizu Batzar. They'll only Rishon Batzar when they don't accomplish what they want to accomplish in this world. I thought once the Pshat is, the Parashat told us this, Voyok Asher Torah, or for Rakto Ulo Me'al Tovarech. Which was all state. If we don't observe the Torah properly, that Esau will be in ascendancy. So, what was the right that Yaakov had to take the brachos? On what basis did he deceive his father and take the brachos? For one reason, for the survival of Klal Yisrael. The Torah will not be able to thrive if we live under the dominion of Esau. And the Mela was necessary to prevent him from getting the brachos. So true, we had every right to be mitzayer, but that creates a moral obligation upon us that what gave us the right to do it, to uphold the Torah. So with those times in history when we don't uphold the Torah, we're not living up to the moral obligation which we have assumed. And therefore, based on that, we have no right at that point to have the brachos. So then the religious system, why will you retire? He says, for what? To live also not according to the Torah. So you should have let him have the brachos already. And it's a special Indian which is involved in Kabbalah Satar. Others, I mentioned Shabbos, but I would mention again in this context. And that is, that it's a Yom Tefillah. It's a special day of the Rabban Shem's Rachamim. I believe you'll find it a Pella Yoyetz. And it's a special day for the Rabban Shem to be Makabal to the Tefillahs. And I always relate in this regard that the Rebbetzin, the Zayn Gezut, now, my Shviger is a Kroiva of Satmar Rebbe, they were talking about the Divrei Yoel. So because of that, so she used to send Shalach Manos to the Rebbetzin every year, and they let my wife into the house, because she was a relative, so she was allowed to come in. But the Rebbe couldn't have thousands of Hasidim exactly descending on the houses for them, but his relatives were allowed to come to the house. So she remembers as a young girl, observing, you know, when she was with the Rebbetzin, that there was a time that the Satmar Rebbe on Purim, he allowed people that were childless to come into the house. And he used to sit with them and cry with them, was bespalah with them. And he had particular empathy for them because he had three children, he lost all his children. So he used to sit. And the Rebbe Tzedakah remembers the fact that one of the people that didn't have children, which remembers afterwards that there was left to a child. You have to remember that Purim is a special day to be mispalah, with a special emphasis on Jesus. Very special to be afraid of the Purim.